Community Radio.
It's about real people.
Not sound bites.
Not more talking heads.
Not on this show.
Interchange is a community access media forum fostering unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Conversations that challenge the ways we perceive the world around us.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Welcome to Interchange. I am your host tonight, Joe Crawford, and I am joined in the studio by Larry Barker, the Executive Director of the Monroe County Solid Waste Management District, as well as Steve Volan, who is a city council member, as well as being the chair of the Solid Waste District's Board of Directors. Thank you to both of you for joining us.
Thank you,
Joe. Happy to be here.
And we are here, of course, to talk about solid waste, trash, garbage, recycling, and all the many issues that surround those things. And there are a lot of reasons to talk about trash right now. A few months ago, there was an announcement that, or I guess it was revealed that there were kind of plans for possibly a new trash transfer station on the west side of town. The city of Bloomington has said that they're having troubles with basically paying for their trash collection service. The Solid Waste Management District has actually expanded service quite a bit this year. And so I want to talk about all those things, as well as just sort of the future of trash collection, how we're going to be getting rid of things, you know, 20, 30 years from now. But let's go ahead and start with each of you just kind of introducing yourselves and telling us a little bit about you know, why you're here, why you're an authority on trash.
My name's Larry Barker. I'm the executive director for the district, retired lieutenant colonel with 28 years of experience in leadership. And I kind of came through the district by way of the city of Bloomington, by all things, Joe. The district is a multifaceted service organization with 5 locations providing recycling and trash services for the citizens of Monroe County. And we ensure that those recyclables that you're putting into our receptacles are being recycled. We have contracts in place to guarantee that happening. One of the big things that we talk about a lot is the mission. What is actually the mission of the Solid Waste District? And to put it in a nutshell, the mission is to reduce the waste stream. And how do we do that? We do that through reuse, reduce, or recycling. That's how we get out all of those high-value commodities that's in our waste stream, out of that waste stream, keep it from going to that landfill. And, you know, I always like to say the landfill is the beast, and the waste industry makes their money by feeding the belly of the beast. My mission is to starve that beast to where that beast doesn't get fed.
I like that. It's a good, succinct summary. But, yeah, I'm Steve Olin, the 6th District City Council member, and also the one member of the City Council who has been appointed to serve on the 7-member Board of Directors of the Solid Waste District. And the Board of Directors is entirely made up of officials who've been elected by other jurisdictions. So all 3 county commissioners are on the board, 1 member of the County Council, 1 member of the City Council, the mayor of the largest city in the district, so Mayor Cruzan is on the board, and a member from the council of the 2nd largest municipality in the district, which is Ellettsville. So Dan Swofford is a representative from there. And I'm serving now my 2nd year as the president of the board. We oversee the work that Larry and his staff do. But I actually will go a little bit further, even though, let me see that mission statement again. We are trying to eliminate waste going to final disposal, not just reduce it. I mean, Larry and I have talked about our goal being to get to that epic ideal of zero waste, where we don't think of anything as waste, that it's all reusable materials. And frankly, it's not too soon to start thinking about that. Why do you call it garbage? You know, you'd be astonished what people in other countries, settle for that we just throw away and consider garbage, which is not an excuse for us to sit on our laurels. We need to think about everything that we make, everything that we buy, everything we take, and most importantly, everything that we are used to throwing away, think about instead how we can get it to be reused or maybe not even manufactured in the first place if it's not necessary.
And I do want to get to sort of the future of sort of solid waste disposal a little bit later, but I would like to first sort of set the stage here a little bit, talk about the history of solid waste in Monroe County. We actually used to have a landfill, and
we
still do have a landfill. We don't have a landfill that we haul our trash to anymore. Can we talk a little bit about that? What happened there, and what is that has happened with that landfill now?
Well, let's start at the very beginning as to when solid waste districts were formed, Joe. Solid waste districts were formed by House and Roll Act 1240 back in 1990. Now, that landfill out there on Anderson Road was well in existence prior to...
I think it was built in the 70s.
It was. It was even back before that. It was some private individuals within Monroe County that would go out there and take a backhoe or dozer or something and kind of dig a little trench and full of garbage and then put dirt over it, which, you know, really isn't within the standards of today's landfill design.
Well, we learned that... you know, when you put trash into the ground, it's got all sorts of nasties in it that leach into the ground. And that's why we, you know, that's why we have an EPA. It's why we have a Department of Environmental Management of the state, is to make sure that our environment doesn't get polluted as a result of our hastiness to dispose of trash.
And that's also some of the reason we have problems with, for instance, PCBs and stuff within the city, right?
That's not really the same thing. I mean, somebody else did that too. That, and in this case, Westinghouse dumped chemicals that turned out to be super toxic all over town back before anybody thought, well, this is something we should think about. Well, you know, many years later, we finally have cleaned most of it up, or at least we've addressed it. But it's why we have any kind of environmental oversight at all, is to prevent this from making our environment that we live and eat and drink and breathe in a lot worse.
And so we got to the formation of solid waste districts, and the
state formed them, yeah.
And the fact that we had a landfill already, what happened after that?
This is me. All right. So I took office the first time January 1st of 2004. 2 days later, the party caucus said, why don't you try serving on this solid waste board? They said, it's easy, you meet once a month, it's not too controversial. A week later, I'm sitting in my office, I get a phone call from a county commissioner saying, Steve, we thought you should know, now that you're on the board of the Solid Waste District, that the Monroe County landfill is on fire.
Wow.
And my first thought was, do I need to bring a shovel or boots? Like, what do I have to do? I thought I had to help put the fire out. And that's when I learned that we had 60 employees at the Solid Waste District. But that also triggered the near complete fiscal collapse of the Solid Waste District, which, as Larry said earlier, we had been treating the landfill, which was half of our then $4 million annual budget, as the tail that wagged the dog. We were more concerned about revenue than this mission of trying to reduce or eliminate waste going to final disposal. Within 6 months, because of pressures we'd already had from IDEM, we were forced to close the landfill because we had no better plan for continuing to operate it. For several years, the district had been operating in violation of IDEM laws. And it's really actually a shame, because the landfill had a lot of space left in it. And we now ship our trash is shipped to a landfill 65 miles away. So we've increased our carbon footprint. The cost of a ton of trash being tipped into a landfill increased from between $28 to $31 a ton back in 2004 to now it's, what is it, over 40?
44.
It's $44, and our contract requires it to be allowed to keep going up. So the community is also losing money on it. Basically, the landfill closed because of, I'll use the word incompetence. We've rectified those problems, but it would take some time to reopen the landfill. And so we're thinking about other ways of getting more efficient at the management of solid waste.
And let's just go back a little bit. How does a landfill like that start on fire?
Well, it turns out that perversely, doesn't seem like it, but the chemistry of the biochemistry of decomposition somehow holds that the colder it gets outside, the more likely it is for an unmanaged buried pile of trash to combust as it breaks down. It generates heat, you know, as it decomposes. And it so happens that the first ever director of the Solid Waste District was director for about 11 years, 1990 to 2001. He quit. The director who followed him found all sorts of problems with the way the previous director had managed the place. After a couple of years, the then board of the Solid Waste District got so fed up with him that they fired him. That was like September of 2003. Within a month or two, four of his five chief deputies, you know, the seconds in command, had quit with him. And the one guy who was left holding the bag in December wasn't in any way trained or prepared to deal with a landfill, let alone the fact that that could happen. And so, you know, who to blame? I think there's blame to go all around there. But I would certainly say that the inattention of previous boards allowed this to happen. And so it's important that everyone, the public has to watch the board of directors to make sure that they're watching the staff and the assets of the district to make sure stuff like this doesn't happen again.
And Larry, the Solid Waste District still is responsible for that landfill, right? Can you talk about what we have to do now? I mean, we have responsibilities to the Department of Environmental Management and others, right?
That's correct, Joe. We have 30 years worth of oversight to maintain, as we want to call, the landfill. And that maintaining has to do with ensuring that we have adequate cover over the landfill where there's no erosion, that we do water sampling constantly at that landfill. We do it twice a year, and then we have special collection drains set up to collect any excess runoff. One of the best things I think we've done within the last few years is we actually put in a leachate treatment processing plant at our landfill. And you know, Steve basically told you a little bit about when that waste starts decomposing, that it starts creating various types of liquids. Well, that's called leachate, which is really harmful. And the process was that we were actually collecting that leachate in lagoons and shipping it to the city of Bloomington and paying the city of Bloomington to process it for us. And when I started looking at those costs, and I said, wow, there's a better way. Contacted one of the world's leaders in technology, which is Siemens Water Technology and Wastewater Technology. Talked to them about the situation we had. And the guy says, yeah, I got a solution for you. It's called a PAC B20, which is a powder active carbon unit that actually will take that leachate and get all the bad stuff out of it and process it with some UV light bulbs, and we put it back into the Bean Blossom Creek. And I like to say I enhanced the water quality of Bean Blossom Creek.
But yeah, I mean, when it rains, that's leachate comes from the fact that it rains and the water goes into the landfill and it drips out, and it takes some toxic chemicals with it, and we need to monitor that.
And so that brings us about up to the situation now, right? Which is that we have another company. It's Republic Services, and its subsidiary Hoosier Disposal, and they haul our trash to Terre Haute, a landfill.
In 2004, when the district was at its nadir, there was no other company in a position to take in the trash that the landfill had been taking in. The only company that had a transfer station, which is a waste station for trash before it goes to final disposal in a landfill. You'll take, if you don't have a landfill nearby, you take it to a transfer station, somebody packages it up into a bigger truck or a vehicle and hauls it to a landfill. The only transfer station in town was operated by Hoosier Disposal. And so we struck an agreement to guarantee that the cost of tipping fees at the transfer station would only go up a certain amount a year in exchange for agreeing to shut down the landfill, which we were not sure we could rehabilitate to item satisfaction at the time. So we are still in that situation. There is only one transfer station in the city, in the county of Monroe. And I don't know if that was the complete question you asked, but...
Yeah. And the transfer station issue came up recently when when JB Salvage announced that it was considering building a transfer station, a second transfer station on West Vernal Pike. And a lot of neighbors were upset about that just because they didn't want a transfer station nearby. But Steve, you also brought up something at a community meeting a few months ago, and that's that there's actually a clause in a contract somewhere.
The contract we signed with Hoosier basically says that if one way in which the contract can be nullified is if a second transfer station opens in Monroe County and there is, in fact, competition. Well, if JB Salvage's transfer station is accepted, then we no longer, we as the district do not regulate the management of trash in the county by statute. We regulate it by contract at best. This contract would be voided if that station was to open up. And so it would represent a loss of guaranteed low rates or minimal rates for the dumping of trash. And you know, that's not a good thing either. It pales in comparison for the West Side neighbors to the prospect of what's essentially a garbage dump in the middle of their neighborhood. So there are two really big reasons to oppose it. One, the very local reason, and one, the regional reason. So, I mean, I still think that it's not necessary, but there's many different ways to respond to it. And one of the ways we've thought about is, well, what assets does the Solid Waste District have, and how can we leverage public assets to provide this public service? Can we do a material recovery facility at the landfill? Could we do our own transfer station out there? Ideally, could we reopen the landfill? Knowing what we know now, almost 10 years later, about what's the better ways are to manage solid waste across the board.
And I guess so. Those are all interesting questions. I mean, can we do any of those things? Can we open up a materials recovery facility? Can we open up a transfer station? What are the barriers to those processes?
Well, I think first of all we got to look at what's best for our community and where do we want our community to go 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. And I think we want to build a sustainable community in Monroe County. The recycling efforts that go on with the district show that the citizens of Monroe County want to recycle. They want to have a place they can go and dispose of those commodities. You know, 70% of the waste stream that you actually put out there by the curbside to have picked up can be recycled if you take the time to go through and pull out those commodities that are so important to preserve this pristine environment that we have. Every time we have to go out here and mine for a piece of ore to build a can or a aluminum bottle takes away from our earth that we have. When you can recycle those same items and actually save the cost of producing that. A materials recovery facility is a wonderful plan. We floated that in 2010 before our board.
And what does that mean? What is a materials recovery facility? What is that?
So basically, what Larry is talking about, that 70% of the waste stream can be recycled, we should probably qualify it saying it could be readily recycled if the public facilities existed to do it. 40% of that, I would say, is compostable stuff, and you have to have some place where you can put the compost, which in this county we don't currently have. We can and do recycle the approximately 30% of the waste stream that is plastics, metal, glass, and so on. But basically, a material recovery facility is not simply a collection point for recyclable material. It's a place where you can bundle it into bales that can be put in a truck and then sold on the open market. Right now, only private entities can do that. There's no reason why the public can't do that too. You know, for many years, the city of Bloomington and to a lesser extent, the Solid Waste District actually paid for the privilege of having recyclables taken away. Those recyclables are worth quite a bit on the open market. We should be able to make it at least a break even deal. So that's only possible by investing in the facility to do it. And so the key thing, though, is that you need a machine or a system for creating a marketable bale of that commodity.
And I look at it at a larger scale than what Steve looks at, because I look at it from not only the residents of Monroe County, but I look at it from the business side of the house as well. Because business has to pay a premium to get their trash taken away. But in that trash that is disposed of out there on a daily basis, there are recyclable commodities in there. My long-range vision was to build a material recovery facility that would allow business to be part of it, to bring those commodities that were recyclables and be able to reduce their cost for waste. You know, when you start pulling items out of the waste stream, you reduce the amount of waste that has to be disposed of. And when you reduce the amount of waste that has to be disposed of, you reduce the cost associated with disposing of that waste. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could pull out 70% of that waste stream and get a rebate for some of that and not have to pay for the disposal of your waste? Businesses would love you.
You are listening to Interchange on WFHB. I'm your host, Joe Crawford, and today Steve Volan and Larry Barker have joined us in the studio to talk about issues surrounding trash collection. We do need to take a break, but we'll come back, and I want to talk a lot more about recycling. But stay with us, and we will return in just a moment.
Support for WFHB comes from Taste of India, a locally owned and operated restaurant featuring a lunch buffet open 7 days a week with a variety of vegan and vegetarian options. Taste of India is located at 316 East 4th Street, next to the fire station. You can dine in or call ahead for takeout or home delivery. 333-1399. Support also comes from Darn Good Soup, on the west side of the Courthouse Square, open from 11 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., serving 8 to 10 soups daily, plus salads, cookies, and now Hartzell's ice cream. Vegetarian and vegan options abound. Darn Good Soup. It's fast, it's healthy, it's darn good. Online at darngoodsoup.com.
To Interchange. I am your host tonight, Joe Crawford, and I am joined in the studio by Larry Barker, the executive director of the Monroe County Solid Waste Management District, as well as Steve Volan, who is the chair of the board of directors there. We are talking about a lot of different issues surrounding trash collection and solid waste disposal in general, and we were just starting to get into some of the issues surrounding recycling. You know, I want to talk about what the district and what the city of Bloomington does to encourage recycling, but I'm also curious to know how we're doing. How do we compare to other places in the country? Larry, you probably know at least a little bit about this as far as recycling goes.
You know, our overall rate in Monroe County, and it's really hard to quantify this entire recycling program in Monroe County because there's so many people that touch this, okay? You have the city that touches, the IU touches, the district touches, but you have a lot of private sector that actually touch the recycling commodities within Monroe County as well. You know, we got about 15 to 17 trash haulers in Monroe County, but we only got about 8 or 10 true recycling organizations in Monroe County. Whenever we took the composite as best we could gather, we was right at 34%, like Steve said earlier, about 34% of the waste stream in Monroe County is actually recycled. Now, what has the district done? We've taken tremendous initiatives here this year alone at our four rural communities. We've opened those up to 5 days a week.
You mean the rural sites?
The rural sites.
Yeah, yeah.
5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, 11 hours a day. That affords the rural community to come out to those centers and bring their recyclables, which is totally free. And what you can't recycle, you put it in one of our little orange bags for disposal, and the small bags are only 50 cents a piece. The larger bags are a buck and a quarter. You know, I'm a family of four, Joe, and I only spend $2.50 a month on my trash disposal. Everything else is recycled. One of the other tremendous benefits we've done this year was we made electronics recycling totally free. No longer do you have to pay the Just a Dollar program, which I was really proud of.
That was a big deal at the time.
At the time, we was paying $25-$30 to get rid of a TV or a monitor or a computer. And we said, hey, we signed a contract with ERI, Electronic Recycling International, company that was in California. Come to Indiana now. Think of this. In California, come to Indiana. Built a plant up in Plainfield, employed 350 Hoosiers to recycle electronics.
Locally and not shipping them abroad.
Locally. Nothing goes overseas. Nothing is in the walks out there being melted down and then they put food in it 5 minutes later. No, it's all recycled in Indiana. In Indiana. And Steve's got me laughing already.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. But
the cooking utensils.
Okay? They don't cook with...
Anyhow, long story short, we guarantee all electronics... All of your data is recycled. Nothing is ever shipped out of this state. Nothing is ever pirated or gone somewhere else. It's all ground up, precious metals, plastics, everything fully recycled.
But it just goes to show that, you know, in my time on the board, we've gone from thinking of an old CRT TV as a nuisance that will cost money. We have to pay somebody for the privilege of hauling it away, to getting companies to recognize that there's valuable commodities in those products and that there's a market value for them. So now instead of paying $25, we can get rid of them for free and somebody is still making money off of them. And that's the attitude we should be having across the board with any kind of commodity that we might have once simply called waste.
I know that I sometimes feel like as far as recycling goes, you know, I turn on the lights, I drive my car, I sometimes feel like recycling is such a small thing to do. And I have often wondered if it actually did anything, if it actually mattered. But Larry, you sent me something before the show started. I just want to read something from it real quickly. Methane is a major greenhouse gas that's 20 to 30 times more potent in its global warming effects than carbon dioxide. And municipal solid waste landfills are the largest source of human-related methane emissions in the United States, accounting for about 34% of those emissions. I don't know that a lot of people realize that, but the stuff that you throw away is contributing to greenhouse gases, contributing to global warming to a pretty incredible extent. Can you talk a little bit about how much that informs what we do in Monroe County and Bloomington?
I used to settle for, a couple times I've heard you say the phrase solid waste disposal. The state law that was created solid waste management districts. At least they were forward enough looking to think, well, we don't necessarily want to throw stuff away. If you start with the presumption that it's okay to throw stuff away, then you're always going to have a problem with, say, methane. It's not just been a functional change. The rhetorical change is as important to us because we need to get people to think, this isn't waste, this is a commodity. Maybe I shouldn't consume as much of this commodity. Maybe I don't need the to-go cup. Maybe I should use a reusable mug. Maybe I should use glass instead of plastic. Maybe I should be thinking about the choices that I make every moment of the day until it becomes ingrained that I'm not treating, you know, I'm happy to say that I don't think our society is as disposable as we used to think of it, where we were just all about the convenience and who cares about anything else.
You know, Joe, I want to go back to that carbon dioxide you was talking about. And just glass alone, for every 6 tons of glass that we recycle here in Monroe County, we reduce 1 ton of carbon dioxide greenhouse gas that's generated. Now, you stop and think about Monroe County and Bloomington. We got a lot of glass. There is a lot of glass in this community. And, you know, last year, I want to say that we was right at the tune of around 690-some tons of glass that we recycled here in Monroe County. That's awesome. Totally awesome. In addition to glass, let's look at the aluminum out here. If we recycle 1 ton of aluminum, we have the equivalency of not releasing 13 tons of carbon dioxide into the air. And we do a tremendous job on collecting aluminum in Monroe County as well. So those are just a couple aspects of how we as a community can reduce those carbon dioxide emissions that's going into the atmosphere by recycling.
But you asked a question earlier. I mean, your initial question, I think, was how do we know the impact we're having? And that's actually a challenge that Larry and I have been trying to address. Larry, are you the chair or vice chair of the state association?
I'm the vice chair, yeah. Vice president.
So there's the Association of Indiana Solid Waste Management Districts, and Larry is an integral part of that organization. Monroe County is one of the more forward-thinking solid waste districts in the state. And one thing we're discovering is we have trouble determining, because the data is not really collected, exactly where trash is coming from, which county it comes from. We can't really account for all the trash in Monroe County, not because we want to control it, just so we know it. We are the solid waste management district, and we should be able to tell the public, here's how much of your trash went to landfill, here's how much of it got diverted to recycling or other purposes. And so trying to get the state to require better reporting would go a long way towards being able to make you feel more comfortable about where, you know, exactly what impact you're having on the waste stream.
And I want to segue right off of what Steve is talking about. The last 4 years, I've played an intricate part in the state legislation side of the House for solid waste districts. And finally, this year, we've got both the House and the Senate, the chairs of the environmental committees, to say it's important for us to be able to identify the waste stream and to identify the recycling coming out of the waste stream. We've only got so much landfill space. We don't want to turn cornfields into landfills. We want to reduce the amount of waste. We want to starve that belly of that beast. So now I've got the legislative leaders on the House and the Senate saying, hey, it's time to start accounting for recycling. We're going to have a summer study this year, looking forward to it. Actually going to embrace the waste industry. Hopefully I will still yet be around another day, but we're going to embrace the waste industry, and we're going to talk about how do we account for recycling? How can we show that we're doing the right thing? How can we get this 32-34% number up to 50%? That's what we're really looking forward to.
And a lot of what, you know, there are so different reasons why to recycle, I guess. And we've been talking about some of the environmental reasons, and you also mentioned some of the sort of fiscal reasons. Can you talk about how much money we spend, you know, as a county or as a city to dispose of trash? Is there a figure?
No, it's the kind of thing that it's a hard thing to nail down. I can give you some rough sense of it. Approximately, let's say the city of Bloomington, I want to say that about 3,000 tons of waste are recycled. About 7,000 tons a year are disposed of in a landfill. It's very rough numbers. And I want to say that the Solid Waste District has similar numbers, maybe a little less.
We've actually flipped the numbers, and I love to say the word flipped, because we are now having more tonnage in recycling than what we have in tonnage going to final disposal.
What are those numbers now?
The numbers we got in tonnage going to recycling was 3,120-some tons of total recycling commodities from just the district. That's not counting the city. That's not counting IU. That's just the district numbers. And our waste numbers are hovering right around 2,100, 2,200. So we made a tremendous flip. And I really attribute that to our massive education program we have. Elisa Procrow, she goes out to the schools and just does a wonderful job. And, you know, whenever you get the kids involved, it's easy for the kids to go home and say, Mom, Dad, that can doesn't go in the trash. That can goes over here and be recycled. That cardboard box doesn't go in the trash. It goes over here to be recycled. And you'd be amazed at the power that that little child has telling Mom and Dad what's right.
But I would say, just to give you a final rough number, that the City of Bloomington, the Solid Waste District, non-city, non-IU, and IU's collections together amount to between, I'd say, 20 to 25% of the total waste generated by citizens of Monroe County businesses as well. And so a lot of the, I mean, these are just the public entities that manage a certain portion of it, but the rest are hauled by private haulers, and they're hauled off to privately owned landfills like Sycamore Ridge in near Terre Haute, or like the landfill in Medora in Lawrence County. Those are the two closest ones to my knowledge. Of course, the Anderson Road landfill here in Monroe County is far and away the closest landfill, but we would need to get permission from IDEM to reopen it, and that's a non-trivial process. And we as a board would have to decide with certitude that this is the way we want to go. Ultimately, though, it would reduce our carbon footprint to have to reopen our public landfill. And more importantly, it would also reduce the costs of all the private haulers who currently have to haul their waste much farther away. A big factor in the cost of solid waste management is transportation. The waste business, a lot of it is transport, is moving. So the less that you have to move the waste, the cheaper it is to dispose of.
And we've talked about sort of what happens once the garbage is on its way to a landfill. There are some costs for, the city to run, for example, to run its sanitation program. A lot of that is, just paying for people to drive trucks. Steve, I don't know how much you can talk about this, but can you talk at least a little bit about some of the financial problems that the city has been having with kind of keeping its trash program going?
Well, this is a good point to talk about the full equation of solid waste management. There are basically four different aspects to it. First, there's the collection of waste. There is the processing of waste. There's the transportation of waste. And then there's the disposal of waste. Now, what you're talking about with the City of Bloomington's program is the collection, if not also the processing, but mostly it's the collection of it. And that's a very labor intensive. I mean, this is what most private haulers do. They collect waste, and that's never really going to change. We, at the other end of the equation, we can change how we dispose of or deal with solid waste, maybe turn it into something other than solid waste. But so the city, since the mid-90s, I forget when you started as sanitation director.
2004.
Okay. That's when you started? Okay. So that's, I think, the year that we raised trash fees. Larry is pointing to himself because he, pride of authorship here, he got us to say, hey, we started in the mid-90s charging a dollar, was it a dollar a bag? 50 cents a bag, 50 cents a tag. You had to have an orange tag that you put in every bag of trash. And it was to get people to stop taking trash for granted, as well as to defray some of the expense of collecting trash. Well, we didn't raise that rate for many years, and our costs went up because most of it is labor. And so by 2004, we had to double trash tag rates, and that created a furor. A lot of people reasonably expect that the collecting of trash is the kind of city, municipal function that cities just are expected to do. But at this point, we are having to try to find any way we can to be able to keep providing the services that people expect. And that's why the administration right now is looking at going away from a model where we charge a price for each tag, to a model where we simply bill each home for the privilege of having trash service. And You know, it's a lot of communities do that. A lot of them do what we have been doing. We don't think it's sustainable anymore. At least I'm speaking on behalf of the administration here. I'm trying to be agnostic, but we don't. We already know that we're the biggest hole in the 2014 budget is sanitation. We're looking at more than $1 million shortfall, which is a good 1.5% or more of our total annual budget. I agree with the mayor that we need to do something. We're, you know, not sure yet what proposal they're going to bring forward exactly. But we're looking at going to a, there's a minimum bill you pay for the privilege of trash service rather than you pay for every bag. I'm afraid that it's going to reduce some people's incentive to keep stuff out of the waste stream. But, you know, right now we're dealing with this component of the trash equation, and, you know, we're going to have to do whatever we have to do.
And I do want to talk a little bit more about that, the city's program and some of the alternatives that have been proposed, and we'll talk about that after the break. You are listening to Interchange on WFHB. I'm your host, Joe Crawford, and again, today, Steve Volan and Larry Barker have joined me in the studio to talk about issues surrounding trash collection. Please stay with us, and we will return in just a minute.
Support for WFHB comes from Bloom Magazine, a proud underwriter of community radio. In the June issue, it's Bloom's 7th annual Homes and Gardens special, plus the Bugs of Bloomington. You can visit magbloom.com to find out where you can pick up a copy of the June issue of Bloom Magazine. That's magbloom.com.
Interchange. I'm your host, Joe Crawford, and I am joined today in the studio by Steve Volan, who is a city council member as well as the chair of the board of directors of the Monroe County Solid Waste District, Monroe County Solid Waste Management District, as well as Larry Barker, who is the executive director of the district. And we were just talking about the City of Bloomington's trash collection program, which Mayor Cruzan has said recently is losing somewhere in the neighborhood of about $1 million a year, or it's costing the city $1 million a year to operate it. The way that it works now, you go to the grocery store, buy a $2 trash sticker, set it out, you know, on the curb, and the numbers I've seen say that that brings in about $800,000 or so, which doesn't even come close to covering the roughly $2 million in trash expenses every year. Steve, you talked a little bit about some of the possible alternatives, and one of them is to put a basic fee on your water bill, right? And your
yes.
utility bill, and say, you know, you have to pay this fee to get trash service. And you also alluded to this. Some people have said that might discourage recycling. It's now free to recycle. What is that going to be a major roadblock for that particular idea?
Not if, I mean, I've made clear from the outset that if a plan like this is going to work, it has to be a tiered service. There have to be at least two tiers. If not, I prefer three. If you, let's say you have you generate a lot of trash, you get a 96 gallon toter and it would cost you $25 a month. Let's say you can get a 64 gallon can for say $20 a month. You can get a 44 gallon can for say $15 a month. You would have an incentive to generate less trash. You'd still have an incentive to recycle, but you have to be able to see it, that you have that choice. And so I think that's a crucial component of doing it. It's still a way of saying, if you generate less trash, you pay less money. What I've, numbers I've said are random and arbitrary. I don't know what the actual cost is going to be, but there will be an incentive for you to step down and to generate less trash. So that is a way to preserve the impulse to recycle. I think that we need to give some credit to the populace of Bloomington and Monroe County. A lot of people have embraced it because it's the right thing to do. But that alone isn't enough to get all of the recyclable material out of the waste stream. There does have to be a financial incentive. So, I mean, that to me is the best way of making that happen with a per month bill.
Are there other communities that have done similar?
Yes.
Similar plans to
quite that? A few of them. In fact, my parents live up in Schererville, which is a sprawling suburban bedroom community up there, and they have exactly this kind of program, and they have at least two, if not three, levels of service. So, yeah, I mean, that's if a community like that can do it, we absolutely should be thinking about such things. People are concerned about the efficiency of their government. The downside of it is that we need to stop assuming that municipal government should automatically do certain things. We're questioning everything we do to see, all right, what can this municipality do and what can't we do anymore based on cuts from on high?
And why not just raise the price of trash stickers? If that's the issue, is that the cost is too low, why not just increase the cost?
Well, I mean, if you double trash stickers to say $4 a bag, first of all, it wouldn't even cover our costs, and that assumes that everyone will comply. There will be, I mean, Larry can probably talk about the extent to which illegal dumping increased after the trash stickers went up in 2004, 2005. You see a drop-off of people taking part because they don't want to pay, you know, they're faced with the blunt cost of a bag of trash, and they refuse to comply, so they find some less environmentally friendly, shall we say, way of disposing of the bag. I mean,
what I think is you have to provide the public with an alternative method, okay? And what I'm saying by that is, if you're going to raise the price of trash, let's provide more opportunity for recycling. Okay, maybe we want to go to, instead of two-stream recycling, maybe we want to go to single-stream recycling. That's an issue that the city will deal with.
What does that mean, two-stream and single-stream?
Well, right now the city has what is called two-stream recycling, and that is the fact that on the back of the recycling trucks that are out here by the city, there are two separate compartments. One compartment is for fiber, which is your magazines, your cardboard, your books, so forth and so on, paper products. The other side of that truck is for your glass, your aluminum, your metals, and your plastics. So that's two stream of operations. What I'm saying is to make it more convenient for the residents, go to what is called a single stream process. But again, in order to make all of this work, we really need to have a materials recovery facility. Now, people say, well, why do you want to go there? Well, we need to process our own recyclables at home. We don't need to send our recyclables up to Indianapolis because there's a footprint. There's a carbon footprint.
It's a lot more expensive to transport it all up there.
There's money to move that materials from Bloomington to Indianapolis. Where you do it right here in Bloomington, you reduce that carbon footprint. And there's value to recyclables. If there wasn't value, the waste industry wouldn't be spending $25 million in St. Louis, Missouri to build a material recovery facility. The waste industry wouldn't be spending $8, $10, and $12 million in Ohio and Kentucky to expand current existing material recovery facilities. There are values to be made and received by the community as well as jobs, that we can bring this right here at home and take care of our own. You know, it would be great if the city could get a nice rebate for the recyclables they collected. Wouldn't that be nice?
In other words, we could turn the magic three R's, reduce, reuse, recycle, back onto the municipalities themselves. We should be reducing the distance that we transport waste. We should be reusing our landfill, which is sitting closed for no really good reason. We should be recycling our own materials as locally as possible. It saves money, and it's not just the carbon footprint, it's the financial footprint as well. So the district itself could be reducing, reusing, and recycling its own assets to better serve the community.
This is not the first time that somebody's brought up this possibility, right? The possibility of a materials recovery facility in Bloomington, or at the landfill, right? Has that been suggested in the past?
No. We've actually gone through several iterations of a proposal for a MRF, that none of which have found the board's permanent favor. But they were not originally proposed. Like, one proposal we had was to purchase an old building on the west side. Another one was to rent a building on the closer, on Curry Pike, I want to say. The most recently, in the past year or so, we've been thinking, well, the district already owns this asset. Just a matter of assembling a building within which to put the balers that would assemble the recyclables for sale. So you might call it the easiest solution at the moment, the most feasible one that doesn't require us acquiring new land.
Do we have any idea how much that could cost to get started?
On the proposal that we brought out in 2010, we was looking at the price tag between $750,000 to a little over a mil. And it depends on how in depth you wanted the operations to be. It's sort of like what I give the envision of buying a car. You know, you can go out here and you can buy a mid-sized car. It'll cost you $15,000-$20,000. You can go buy a little bit more expensive and it's going to cost you $30,000. Or you can buy a little bit of luxury and it's going to cost you $50,000. So it just depends on what level the board was willing to go as to...
I'm trying to imagine a luxury MRF. You know, white glove treatment. They detail your car afterwards. I don't see it.
Well, I'm more looking at not a white glove MRF, but what we call a dirty MRF, because I want to be able to go in and make it to the point of zero waste. That's my ultimate goal, is to be able to get us to a zero waste society.
So explain a dirty MRF.
A dirty MRF is being able to bring in all of the waste into one facility and have it sorted and separated. Okay, like I was telling you earlier.
In other words, nobody would recycle at home. They would simply know that you could put all your trash into one place and it would go to the Dirty MRF, and the employees there would sort out all the recyclables directly from the trash.
That is one concept of an extreme Dirty MRF. I would like to have more of a softer, gentler Dirty MRF, to where we have multiple color bags, to where you would put your recycling in a blue bag and it would be picked up at your house, single stream, and it would get dropped off at the MRF as well as the trash, and then you would go through, because not 100% of the population is going to recycle. We know that, okay? But those that do recycle, we want them to take it responsible and go ahead and do the separation, because there's more value to that clean recyclable material than what there is to recycle material that has somewhat of a contaminated value.
But I think that just being able to say the words dirty MRF would give some people a certain amount of pleasure that might get them to comply with the program. I don't know.
I did want to talk a little bit about the sort of, you know, long-term future here. You mentioned the words zero waste. What does zero waste mean?
And is there nothing goes into a landfill.
And is there any place now that is zero waste?
You know, there are a few places in the world that actually recycle almost everything. I can't recite them off the top of my head. I know in Japan, I read many years ago that they separate up to 40 plus different commodities in separate containers. I think it depends on where you go, but there are a few, very few places in the world where there is almost nothing that you would call trash that just gets dumped. It's a ways off, but it's imaginable. That's the key thing.
And there's another step to this process. In addition to recycling, there's also composting. It's where you take out your yard waste and where you take out your food and your vegetable scraps out of the waste stream, and that goes over to a compostable site. And then what little bit is remaining, 5-10% or so of the waste stream is remaining, that actually can be turned into energy through anaerobic digestion. Okay, so there's a lot of ways that we can package this for our community to where we can't become zero waste. There's no doubt in my mind.
And anaerobic digestion means?
Anaerobic digestion is what I call a cooking pot. Pot. Okay, I'll say a pot.
Yeah.
I wanted to say a pot a while ago, but I couldn't.
Yeah. pot, dirty MRFs. I mean, we are hot. This industry
But what happens is this waste gets into this anaerobic digester, and it actually produces heat, and this heat produces the steam, and the steam produces electricity. I mean, it is, again, another technology that's right here in front of us.
But is a digester for processing organic waste or inorganic waste?
You can do both with the digester, organic and inorganic. The bottom line is you can get to zero waste with the anaerobic digesters.
And so, go ahead.
Well, we've also even thought about the methane coming out of our landfill. Can we recapture it and put it to use? We really should be, just for the sake of reducing the carbon footprint. But, I think that any project we would do out at the landfill, if it ever does come to fruition, would involve also the capturing of methane to power the activities of that center. So, yeah, we're trying to look at every different angle in a way to get to the point where someday, hopefully within a generation, this conversation will seem quaint, because everyone will take for granted that, trash. It's interesting. If you go to certain places like in City Hall now, you can see two bins. One of them says recyclables, plastics 1-7, whatever. And the other one says, doesn't say trash anymore. It says landfill. And it really makes people think, oh, I should find another way to dispose of this, because it's going to go to the landfill. It's not just trash that just goes somewhere. It tells you specifically where it's going. It's going to a landfill. And so, 20 years from now, I hope that we will be shrugging at the idea that anybody ever really thought about trash, when they could have thought about it as a commodity to be put in the right place. What we need to do now is to build the infrastructure to enable us to change that word trash, to get rid of that word.
And besides, we've talked about dirty MRFs now for a while, but is there anything else? You talk about infrastructure that would need to be built. I guess I'm just wondering, what are the next steps on that roadmap toward zero waste?
Well, the digester, I think, is a really important part of it. Zero waste isn't just cutting down the amount that we put into a landfill. It's also reducing the distance that we have to haul anything that we don't want anymore, that we want to turn into something else. So the more local facilities we can build, the more we can localize the management of solid waste, the more likely it is that we'll, reach that ideal. But I'm not sure I'm answering your question.
I think one of the key factors we got to stop and really consider is, where does our community want us to go? What's the will of the people? If the will of the people is that we manage our waste locally, then that's where the elected officials need to start looking at what's the avenues that we have out here in front of us. What can we do now? What can we start planning for in the future? And how long is it going to take us to get there? And I fully believe in, the reason we went to 5 days a week at our rural centers was because the people in the rural communities asked for it. We will support you if you build it. The old saying, build it and they'll come. That's kind of what's happening out here, is we are providing that extended services, enhanced services, and people are taking advantage of it.
But the key is that, it will be one thing if it would be one thing if it was just to do the right thing for the environment. It also happens, though, that it's ultimately more cost efficient to do it to recycle and to go for zero waste as well. And I think that's why you're going to keep seeing the demand for it.
Well, you are listening to Interchange on WFHB. I'm your host, Joe Crawford, and I have been joined today by Steve Volan, as well as Larry Barker. We've been talking about a lot of different issues around trash collection. Thank you to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks to our assistant producer, Lewis Malone, for engineering tonight's program. The executive producer of Interchange is Allison Bektesh. Our original theme music is by Jamil Effiam. Stay tuned for jazz coming up next on WFHB.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers working in the studios of Community Radio WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana.
Interchange fosters unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Comments, suggestions, and program ideas may be sent directly to the Interchange staff.
The email address is news@wfhb.org.
That address once again is news@wfhb.org.